Hi, welcome to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ken.
And this is Doug with the IMDb synopsis. Season 2, Episode 10, Where and When. Pete and Micah use H.G. Wells' time machine to travel back to 1961. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson. Written by Drew Greenberg, Andrew Kreisberg, Michael P. Fox, and Ian Stokes. Directed by Stephen Cragg. Original air date, September 7th, 2010.
I always knew if we didn't quit, one of us, one day, would lose the other.
So we're back with Season 2, Episode 10, Where and When. And the artifact of the week is H.G. Wells' time machine. The time machine transports the user's consciousness into someone else in time for 22 hours and 19 minutes. And that's pretty much all they say about it. Last week, I believe we started with Kim's notes, so this week we're going to start with mine. Although my notes are all over the place, this was a really good episode. I liked this episode, but with all the time travel, my notes got a little kind of nuts.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's
so,
run with it.
Did you like this episode?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I really liked it too. And usually I get really confused with time travel.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I was able to keep up with what was happening.
Yeah, this one was easy.
Yeah. So, as everyone is arguing, and I thought it was funny because now there's Micah, Pete, and HG, and they all argue at once.
Yes.
They all start yelling at Artie all at once, and you can't understand what any of them are saying. And I just thought that was funny because she does kind of fit in even though nobody wants her there.
No, not nervous. Why would you make me nervous? You're part of a team now. And
why is no one here?
I'm here.
Congratulations. I'll have a gold star delivered to your room. Where are the others?
Right here. Hey, guys. Claude, did you drop something?
Yeah, I just had a little slippery fingers.
I make her nervous.
Claude, there's no need for you to be nervous.
I'm not. I wasn't. Jeez.
It's okay. There will be a period of adjustment. Although I have already earned a gold star.
Why does she get a gold star?
She doesn't.
Right.
So as everyone's arguing, Rebecca shows up, and she wants them to find an old artifact from an old case of Jack and Rebecca's from 1961. She tells them that they lost the artifact and the suspect, Jonah Raitt. I think the name was Raitt, right?
I think so, yep. Mm-hmm.
Because they seem to have lost 22 hours and 19 minutes. And the reason why she comes to them is because apparently this Raitt man just died, and she didn't even know he was living that close to her.
All those years, Raitt and I were living in the same city. I went to his address to ID and retrieve the artifact.
But you didn't find anything.
He wrote this obituary himself. Read the last line.
If you're still out there, Jack and Rebecca, thanks for my life.
You think he was taunting you?
He was a cruel son of a bitch. The artifact is still out there and in play. No one else should die because I couldn't crack down on this. We need to find it.
In his obituary, he wrote, Jack and Rebecca, thanks for my life. So she took that as he was rubbing their nose in the fact that he got away and they didn't get the artifact. But
right,
we find out at the end that's not the case. He's
mm-hmm.
thanking them for his life.
Yes.
For figuring out it wasn't him and letting him get away and start a new life.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know that until later on. Supposedly, in 1961, they suspected this guy of killing three of his secretaries and his wife. Artie goes to St. Louis to check out the guy's apartment, and Micah wants to go with him, and he just doesn't want her to go. He's still mad at her about the whole HG situation.
Yeah.
And she kind of needs to let it go a little bit, too, I think.
Yeah, they overdo it sometimes.
She knows he's pissed. They come into the meeting, he's pissed. You know, she knows he's pissed. And she
mm-hmm.
keeps saying, well, shouldn't HG have some training? Leave it alone. She doesn't stop forcing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's a little over the top anyway.
Let's talk about your next assignment.
Shouldn't there be some sort of orientation for HG?
It's not necessary.
Let's not make a fuss.
Well, yeah, you already got a gold star.
There is no gold star. There won't be orientation. It's bad enough she's here at all. Can we just try to get through this?
After Artie leaves, HG realizes it's her time machine. Because somebody said 22 hours and 19 minutes, somebody must have used it to go back to 1961.
I might want to take a look at this.
Dear Charlie, do me a favor and put this in the HG Wells storage area. I won't ask about it. Don't bring it up. Trust me, Jack.
That's not Jack's handwriting.
I know. It's mine.
As it turns out, it was Pete and Micah who used it to go back to 1961. They find a recording of them telling them to go back to 1961.
I know this is gonna sound nuts. I'm sure you're sitting there, arms folded, twirling your hair, biting your lip, not wanting to believe this, but I'm you. I'm Micah. inside Rebecca. Well, your mind, anyway. We've traveled back through time.
I'm Pete. I'm Pete.
Hi, me.
I can't believe this. This isn't possible.
We don't have a lot of time. Can you be serious?
Don't give Rebecca back her body all tensed up like that.
Pete, focus.
Yoink. It is you guys.
So, they do. And later on, when Artie comes back and finds out they're using the time machine, he's really pissed, as Artie always is.
Yep.
But as it turns out, it was the right thing to do. Otherwise, they would have changed all of history.
Listen, Micah. Pete is going to try to convince you to use the time machine to travel back to 1961 to identify an artifact. It's okay. Pete's actually right for a change.
And Pete, get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars.
Like Puerto Rico. Oh, I love that movie.
Okay, we're done.
Oh, there's one last thing you need to know before you get here. The artifact is a...
Because they were the ones who went back to 1961.
Right.
So he was wrong. He's so stubborn.
Yeah, but that's already.
So they go back to 1961 to take the place of Jack and Rebecca. And we find out through their boss...
Are we done fixing our hair and makeup, ladies?
Who's the old goat?
Charlie Martin, he's there, Artie.
You think this is a good place to catch 40 winks?
No, sir, no. You're right, Charlie. It's not her fault. See, I had kind of a thing there, and it
don't
was...
Don't blame him, really. It's a rough morning for both of us.
Sorry, Rebecca. Rough morning. Maybe you should take the rest of the day off. Or maybe you should get back to work.
We're very sorry, Mr. Martin, sir.
I think his name was Charlie, the Artie back then, who was Armin Shimmerman, and I love him because, well, he was not only the principal in Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, but he was also Quark in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I like him. I mean, he's in a million other things, too, but to me, he's Quark.
Yeah.
It seems like they use a lot of Star Trek actors in this series.
Okay.
Well, so far we saw, and I can't say his name, Rene, I can't say his name, but he was Odo in Deep Space Nine. Now we're seeing Quark. I'm positive we see at least two more as the series goes on. So, yeah, we find out through this Charlie guy that Jack and Rebecca don't get along at all.
Yes, Mr. we're
Martin,
sorry.
Sir.
Thank you.
Sir. Mr. Martin. What is this? What's going on? And you two don't cover for each other. You're mean to each other. What gives?
Yes.
Right.
The... meanness
jerk
we have for each other.
Hate. Just,
and we also find out that Mrs. Fredericks was part of the warehouse in 1961.
I know, that's so wild.
You're off the glass grill case.
Wait
what?
A minute. What? What do you mean?
Discussion. Gus is getting close to Man Ray's camera. I need you on that. Another glass grill turns up, we'll get back into it. Look, this comes directly from Mrs. Frederick. So if you want to piss her off and have her give you that stare, go ahead. Lady terrifies me.
But you know what I was thinking? So originally, Rebecca, when she's telling the story about this day, she said that when they woke up in the orchard, that's when they first started seeing each other. Because before then, he was mean to her.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, oh no, it wasn't Jack and Rebecca that were supposed to get together. It was Pete and Micah. Do you know what I'm saying? Because they were in their body.
It's funny. It was after this case that Jack and I fell in love. It was the day we blacked out. I woke up in an orchard, and Jack was kissing me. Our first kiss. I was so surprised. I mean, I always fancied him, but he was always so mean to me.
Oh, okay.
Like the whole thing was a mistake and they ended up together because of a mistake. That Pete was actually kissing Micah.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, but Pete and Micah never kissed, though.
Right, because at the end we see Rebecca goes back. She wakes up before Jack wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
And she initiates the kissing.
Yeah.
And then they both lose their memories and they're kissing. So she always thought that she woke up to Jack kissing her.
Right.
So it was definitely her that initiated it. But when she first said that, I woke up and he was kissing me, and I didn't know why because he was always so mean to me, I'm thinking, oh no, their whole relationship wasn't supposed to happen, although it did, because it was Micah and Pete, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was my first thought. I was like, oh no, she's going to be devastated. She's going to find out that it was actually Pete kissing Micah.
Oh, see, I didn't get that.
When they turned into each other, but it wasn't. They show us at the end because she goes back and she did exactly what she did in 1961. She woke up first and kissed him.
Mm-hmm.
Because she already knows that they're in love after this.
Right, and the ring and everything else.
Right. But originally I thought, oh no, this is how it's going to end. She's going to be devastated thinking that their relationship was just a bunch of errors. Not that they didn't have a good relationship after that, but it was because that Pete kissed Micah, not because he kissed her.
Gotcha.
But it wasn't. If anybody followed that, yay for you.
Yeah, that's all right. I get it, folks.
You know what I mean, right? You followed it, right?
I kind of followed what you said, but that's not what I thought when I was watching it, but... Let's go.
But that's not what happened, but that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, see, I got it a different way. When she said he always hated me, I'm thinking that eventually Pete and Micah are going to hook up because they're always mean to each other.
Oh, right.
Because they're kind of like them.
Yes.
So I was thinking that in the future episodes, they will hook up.
I get that too, yeah. Because they are. And they pointed out in the episode that she was in the last time how much they're alike.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, but she never said anything about him being mean to her. But that's what I got. And it doesn't even matter because that's not how it worked anyway.
Right.
I told you, my notes are all over the place. So, and then we find out Rebecca's dying. At first, we think it's a ploy to get Artie to change the subject when he comes back to the warehouse because he doesn't know that they're in the time machine.
Right, yeah.
She actually is dying, and she's dying of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Artie not knowing that they are in the time machine, he pushes some lever and sends a pulse or something out to fix whatever fluke he thinks is happening at the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Which messes everything up for Pete and Micah.
Yes.
And this Jonah Raitt, they did a really good job of making him appear to be the villain.
Oh, yeah. I would have never thought that in a million years.
So nice of both of you to check in. Untouched.
You need to quit smoking, man.
Charlie, did you get any of that information on Raitt I asked you for?
It was the highlight of my day.
Well, were there any hotel receipts?
What? Hotel? Oh, right. Because if dude stepped out on his wife, then...
He's not inviting them home.
Wrong again, Rebecca. He is inviting them home.
Wait, come again?
Raitt took a deduction last year on a second residence. A one-bedroom at 15 Hoover Street. Must be a side pad where he engages in sexual congress with his secretaries.
If you go back, when he's talking to people, even when mm-hmm. he's talking to Pete about the magazines and stuff,
yep.
he sounds like a sexist pig.
Yes.
Which mm-hmm. was common back then anyway.
Right.
I mean, look at this. It's a relic. This stuff was outdated in the 50s. Yeah, I'm more of a Sports Illustrated guy myself.
Better?
Yeah.
Of course, if you ask me, they can stand to spice things up a little bit. Add a little cheesecake. Maybe have a swimsuit issue.
Got an eye for the ladies, huh?
I do. You know, they say that God made us in his image. It makes me think that God must be a woman. I mean, look at her. She's stunning, right? But this magazine, it does its best to make her seem dull. She should be admired like a work of art.
And then after you find out that he wasn't having an affair with all these women, he was trying to take over the magazine because these women can do more than what they let them do. You find out he's actually pretty much a feminist.
Right, but the sad part is he didn't tell his wife.
Oh, I'm glad you said that because that I forgot to write that down. But yeah, why didn't he tell her? Let her die feeling guilty. I know that's terrible, but...
Right, but he didn't tell her that. He just said, I wish you loved me less.
Right.
Why didn't you just say... You know, I wasn't sleeping with her. I didn't have affairs. And why didn't you tell her about the magazine? If you're trying to get another magazine, why aren't you telling your wife?
She seemed like the typical 60s housewife to me.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to say anything about the women. But the men still came home and talked about their day.
Right, but if he mentioned the magazine and not the women, he'd be in the same boat because she would still think that these women are having an affair with him.
Right. You know, if at one point you could have said, you know, they were helping me with the magazine. I did think that they were having an affair because, you know, he had the other apartment and stuff. But it's like, still, I would have told her. I wasn't cheating on you, girl.
Yeah, you killed all these people for nothing.
But did they even say where she got the knife from either?
No, I know.
Usually they do. They usually, there's some reason why how they got the artifact.
Right. I think they did a really good job with him. And then if you go back after you find out that he's not a pig, and you listen to the conversation he had with Pete, that's what he was saying, but he wasn't saying it in so many words.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because he said stuff like, oh, they need more females in there, they need more whatever. And you're like, oh, this guy's so gross. But now when you find out what he was doing and you go back and listen to that conversation, you hear a totally different conversation.
Right, yep.
So they did a really good job with him.
They did.
And then, you know, we learn more about HG's daughter's death and why she built the time machine. When her daughter died, I guess it was a house break-in. She was homesick, so they didn't think anybody would be home.
Right.
And there was somebody named Sophie there with her. Sophie, the way she was fighting just like HG would have.
Mm-hmm.
So HG knows that she must have gone back in the time machine that she hasn't built yet in present day to try and help her daughter.
Right.
Which is why she builds the time machine, because she knows she has to go back.
Right.
It was a little confusing, but there's a lot of time change episodes like in Eureka and stuff that I can't follow. I get very confused. But this one was pretty...
This one's easy.
Yeah, this one was easy to follow because you know all these things have already been done and they've already done them.
They kept on repeating that you can't change the past.
Right.
Well, I guess you can't change the past, no matter how hard you try.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dud Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you're also a fan of Eureka. And if you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Now, Pete and Mike are dying in this time machine, and Artie's holding a gun on her, pretty much letting him die.
Mm-hmm.
Until Rebecca finally talks him into letting her fix the problem that he created. This is when we find out that Beth, Jonah's wife, was killing the women because she thought he was having affairs with them.
Yeah.
And she was killing him with Cinderella's glass knife. And the knife has the power to alter a person's body chemistry when they are stabbed with it, able to turn the whole body into glass. To have this effect, the knife has to stay in the person until they are entirely transmuted into glass. If the knife is pulled out of the victim before they're completely vitrified, they are restored to normal. And that's from Warehouse Wiki. And the description of the time machine at the beginning is also from Warehouse Wiki. So I'm wondering why they let her die. I guess she was supposed to die, so they had to let her die, right?
Right, because yeah. That was the ticket. We thought that he killed her, when technically he didn't kill her. It was basically an accident.
Yeah, it was Micah, basically, but it was an accident, right. Yes. Because while I was watching it the second time, I was like, well, why don't they pull the knife out? So Pete and Micah hide the artifact in the orchard. Well, they were trying to get it back to the warehouse, but they couldn't. And Pete's trying to write a note to Rebecca because she lived her whole life thinking they let it get away. Pete, through this whole thing, wanted to change the timeline.
Right, yeah.
At the beginning, when we see Jack and Rebecca running down the street and Rebecca yelling no, we thought Rebecca was yelling no because somebody was going to kill this girl.
Right, yeah.
But she was yelling no at Jack, who was Pete, because he can't change the timeline.
Right, but in the original, when you see the girl running, somebody is chasing her, and it's Pete.
Right, it's Jack and Rebecca, but it's actually Micah and Pete.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, but Rebecca's yelling no, and we think she's yelling no to the person that's going to stab her.
Right.
But mm-hmm. She's not. She's yelling no to Pete, who's trying to stop it.
Right.
Yeah, Pete would have messed up everything if he was there by himself. You know what part I didn't get? That when they first get to 1961, they pull over to the side of the road, and Micah's going to go get a job.
Yeah.
And Pete was going to go, I forgot where he was going to, to talk to the wife.
Yes.
And Micah looks at the sidewalk and says, unbelievable. And Pete says, I know, steak's a dollar, but I know that's not what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what she meant. I kept looking at the sidewalk.
Oh, well, I don't know what she meant either.
I know that's not what you mean. But I kept looking at the sidewalk and I don't know what she meant.
I was looking at a sign. I was looking for something that she spotted. And I didn't see anything.
I didn't see anything either. So if anybody saw something, let me know what it is.
Yeah, I didn't see anything because I was like, well, what did she see?
I don't know. And I looked at it a couple times. I rewound it and went back a couple times because
mm-hmm.
I thought I was missing something.
Nope.
Well, that's pretty much all my notes. What do you got?
Oh, one of the things that had me cracking up is when they're pulling the cloth and everything off of the time machine. And Pete has one of those moments. Because Pete says, let's see if I can pronounce this, that Russell Crowe was a Tasmanian convict in 1800s. Yeah, something in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And everybody just stopped in their tracks because they couldn't believe that actually came out of P. And then he goes, yeah, read it online.
Yeah.
Oh, my Pete, my Pete, my Pete. I thought that was really cute. I said he had a moment there.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it was a good episode. And then I even said to myself, it seemed like it was really short. So if it's really good, does it feel like it's short to you?
To me, yeah. Yeah, because if I don't like it, it just feels like it goes on forever.
Right, because I had to look at the clock and go, it's over? Oh, okay, so good. It wasn't me.
No. Yeah, it went by fast because it was good. I mean, it doesn't go by fast for me the second time because I always have to pause to take notes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it did go by fast.
It ran kind of smooth.
Yeah.
But you know what cracked me up is the women at the office, too. You know, at the office scenario, you know their place. And then Micah at the club, she had to be a cigarette girl. The only way she could get in. And she said, hey, I'm looking at my face. So, you know, it's that old mentality of a woman's place.
Yeah.
And technically, I know a lot of men don't want to hear this, but technically we are the strongest sex to me.
Oh, I agree.
So, you know, that kind of like, really?
Did you watch Mad Men when it was on?
No.
It's so weird because, well, we were young in the time where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many things. Yes, the way they treat women and everything. But there's just so many things that I remember and you kind of forget about. You know, like there's one scene, and I always bring this up because it just kind of shows how things have changed. One of the kids come out of the bedroom with the dry cleaning bag on their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the plastic dry cleaning bag.
Yeah.
And the mother gets mad at them. But she doesn't get mad at them because they're going to suffocate.
Uh-huh.
Because she says, if I find those clothes thrown all over the place and wrinkled, you're going to be in trouble. Because it didn't occur to anybody that you could suffocate until somebody did.
Right, yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, with kids crawling around the car with no seatbelts. And it's a good show. Something to watch because there's just so many things that you're like, oh my God. People are smoking and drinking when they're pregnant. There wasn't anything wrong with that then. Just smoking everywhere. Everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so many things that you forgot from when you were little.
Well, even I was watching SNL.
Yeah.
And Chappelle was on. So he's standing there and I'm going, and this has just been taped. So anyway, so I'm looking and I'm going, does he have a cigarette? Oh, yeah, my boy was smoking on stage. And I haven't seen that in so long. Blew my mind because it was like, they allowed him to smoke?
Was it Saturday Night Live stage or was it his stage? Because I think he has his
their
own.
Their stage.
Was it?
Their stage.
Oh, because he has his own stage or something wherever he lives.
Right. He has his own, but he was the host of Saturday Night Live.
But do they do that live anymore?
They did it live.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
The people in the band had their mask on. The audience had their mask on. Now, the audience were kind of close, but everybody had their mask on. And then at the end, when they end the show, everybody has their mask on.
I don't think I've watched Saturday Night Live since the first season.
Oh, I've been watching, especially with the politics, it's too comical. So that's one reason why I've been trying to catch up and see what's going on as far as how they doing, what's going on, the COVID and stuff like that. So
yeah.
That's one of the reasons why, you know, I've been watching it. And then I started back watching it anyways. The other thing I noticed, too, like even going back to 1961, remember Love American Style?
Yes.
That is on again. And, you know, I said, oh, look at it again. Because certain things are going, go back and look at it again. And I'm going, oh, my God, how sexist can you be?
Right. But it was okay.
But it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you go back and look at certain things, it's going, really? But yeah, that's how it was.
And maybe that's what Micah was saying, really, at everything, except it was just a weird time to say it.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense, unless I missed something, but I'll have to look at it again. Not that I didn't look at it four or five times already, but I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Oh, that's it?
That's it. All right. Yeah, this was a really good episode. I like this
one.
Rebecca, nice catch.
You're teacher's pet in every decade, aren't you?
And we only have two more until the end of season two already.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see you next week with episode 11.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
That machine. Does it still work?
Don't tell us you want us to go back and get another artifact.
No. But I would like to see Jack again. One more time.
Well, the circuitry's severely damaged, and the trip wouldn't last more than a few moments. And I wouldn't be able to bring you back.
Why would I want to come back?
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for season 2, episode and nothing. Buried. Bye now!
Bye.
Bye!
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse, on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com, or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.